Ja, schönen guten Tag. Ich hoffe, es funktioniert mit dem.
Thank you, and I hope this works with the microphone now. I'm going to be talking to you about the interrelation between work, production and technology, and I'll be doing it with this table up here, doing manual labour, just as in the films. I have 4 to 5 tableaus here, which are very abstract, but at the same time, very specific. So if I have this kind of schemata, the question is, which of these elements appear in the films and which do not? And you'll be quite surprised to see the particular selection we have today. So I'm going to start with the essence of work. It's something which is essential to human existence, and the essence of work is transformation. You can depict this very easily. So you have some material or other, and it is transformed into something else, and that constitutes work. That's the fundamental basis. In historical terms, there are 2 different modes. There's the work of farmers, extraction, harvesting of crops created by the earth. There's also fishing and indeed mining, taking something which in a sense grows within the earth. And then there is the craft side of things, transforming one thing into another, forming, shaping, putting material into a form. And the form is very diverse, too, depending upon which culture you're in, what your intentions are. Now, that, of course, is just one small part of the whole picture, but you need to add something to understand how work exists, not just in simple craft forms, for example, and farming forms. Since the Middle Ages, there's a second form as well. This is a first-order shaping. And this is a second order shaping or forming. What does that mean? There's a difference between the two. There's simple work. There's the processing of something, primarily in a manual fashion. And then you have the forming or shaping of that work. In other words, organization. So the essential point, and you'll see we're speeding straight through history, through to the modern age. In the 18th, 19th century, there's a great change in the world of labor, and that is industrialization, which previously only existed in a pre-industrial form, in a very simple format. So what happens is that we start to produce the materials ourselves, chemically, using metallurgy, physically, through the laws of physics, and so on and so forth. So you have science plus production, which is something that did not previously exist. There was, for example, silver and gold, tin, which was made of different metals, chemical combinations. But in essence, primarily before this, materials were processed as they were found in nature. And here, after 1800, we start to change the materials. We shape the materials in a particular fashion before continuing to process them and work on and with them. And here we have energy. Energy is deployed. That is what we call mechanization. So here you have knowledge plus machines. And when that is done, you find entirely different approaches, man-machine couplings, man-machine-system coupling. A pace of labor, a rhythm of labor is introduced, which has nothing to do with the historical modes of labor, which is rooted in the world of nature and physiology. There's an entirely new dimension introduced. And if we make the first leap and look at the images, the selection that we have here has little to do with these two formulae. In essence, we're in a sphere of straightforward work, transformation plus organization. Now, the crazy thing is that the film just looks at the way in which the work is conducted directly. We don't see any organization, but I'll interpret the images for you in a moment, talking about the organization inherent within those images. Before that, though, let me add something else. There are two to three dimensions missing. Let's say two dimensions missing. I'll make it simpler. If this is the basic formulae, then we need to put that within brackets and put an H here. What form of hegemony exists here? We don't have free organizations, republics. There's not a republic of free workers deciding how to organize themselves. There are power structures in the form of instructions given, or in the form of the organization itself, or in the form of what I would call a democratic firm. Companies and theorists of corporations are beginning to give some thought to what is meant by a free corporation. The notion of the cooperative was something along those lines. But there is a power structure, a hegemony, which holds its own here. So this is a particular structure within society. Something I'll just be touching on later, but which we will have to address. Do you see those who are in charge in the images, the powers that be? And then I'll put a second set of brackets, and then we have the economy. That is something which is not addressed in these images. If we look at work as an objective, temporal, economic element, we see the objective element, primarily, a touch of the temporal, but none of the economic aspect. It's very hard to make images of this. Try to take a picture of the economy. It's very hard to do that. You can make a metaphor or a narrative. I wanted to touch on this because that really shapes the kind of organization, the kind of investment and of innovation. And in this general context, you don't see that in the images. I'm going to run through my interpretation. We'll talk about this later, of course, and perhaps you'll have different ideas. How does organization emerge? We'll start with the lady doing the final quality check on the blue trousers. It's the last check before they're sold. And you see a room in which other people are working too. There's a table with red and grey tables at the back of the room, and there's the lady at the sewing machine who comes over at one point. And that's the only place where we see a man-machine interface. What's striking? They all do different kinds of work. The lady at the front with the trousers is doing high-speed work. She's incredibly fast. The others are much slower. You'll see that if you look at the ones at the back. They're much, much slower. And she's speeding ahead. That's something which stems from the organizational structure. But here it's not necessary. So if the woman sewing the trousers at the sewing machine were to bring the trousers so fast, the lady at the front would have nothing left to do. So the performance doesn't say anything about the organization. The others are much slower. If someone is dependent upon what the others upstream do, then the speed needs to be similar. And the question is whether this is not a kind of self-staging. I am excellent. We see the agility, the skill. That's absolutely crystal clear. The high degree of routine is clear, but that doesn't seem to slot into the organization. The organization does not seem to demand that of her. Perhaps she's just doing this for the film. There's an interesting question. And then we have the film in the Chinese underground. And there's an inspection. It's a control. It's an oversight role. There's three of these oversight control roles in these films. And he tries to find out whose bag needs to be checked. Most of it doesn't seem to work, or it's just a random selection principle, but the hand is working automatically, almost. He's constantly making gestures, but he doesn't seem to be able to stop people. So the organization, the firm who put him there to carry out the control, is there to have high-quality checks. Who might have something in their bag that needs to be checked? He doesn't get to grips with that, or he does get to grips with it with an intelligence which I cannot see. If you look at the time frame, you see the temporal element and the fact that he's, in a sense, acting in vain. Why does he somehow intervene? I don't see any difference in the gestures. They're not particularly urgent sometimes. Sometimes he seems to move along but can't stop whoever it is. So it's a very tricky organizational structure. This person cannot fulfill his task because he has no power to enforce his role. He'd have to stop people brutally. There's a rapid flow of people. Any reinforcement of the control would impede the flow. Suddenly everybody would be having to queue because the next one would have to be checked. The machine only has a certain capacity. So it's probably an intelligent solution, selecting some people, but not disrupting the flow of people. So it may be quite an intelligent approach. So the organizational structure is important. It is a man-machine interface, in a sense. There are the people they wish to go to the underground. Something atypical with the school children learning to pick corn is atypical because there is no routine. There's not even a tool there. The optimal solution would be to take a knife or a pair of scissors and chop them off. It's a proto-labor situation in a sense. It's the first time these children are there. It's very interesting as a sense of interruption or caesura in the selection of films, but it's pure chaos. But there is pressure, not organizational pressure, but pressure to be able to affirm oneself in the peer group. The stress comes from elsewhere, though, not directly from the working situation. And the next example is the man organizing the instruments. I can't say whether it's before or after an instrument, probably not before an operation, because the way he touches them indicates they would need to be sterilized. Highly routine approach. Quality management plays a role here too, and he looks at the list to make sure everything is there. That's a necessary step in the labor process to make sure that all of the instruments are there for the operation. So it's a security check in a way. High speed, high precision. It doesn't have to be an ancillary supporter in this team. It could also be the doctor himself. Clear structure, clear routine, standard working tempo. And then there's the scene where you don't know whether it's somebody who's working as a beautician or as a hairdresser, that doesn't really matter, taking the decorative hair ornaments from the girl's hair and putting them in the drawer. It's standard manual labor. It doesn't really matter how this fits into a bigger picture, but that's the basic picture of calm, peaceful, low-speed craft manual labor. You can see that there's a degree of skill. Now, from a German optimization point of view, you could actually have left the drawer open rather than opening and closing it each time. But you see that this is the model of independent manual labor. Somebody is skilled and works within the frame of that skill. Now, if you set all of this one against another, the selection is quite striking. Somebody made this selection. I saw in the other images there's much more organization, more machinery. But if you look at this selection, what we have here is the framework of simple transformation. You can draw certain conclusions as to the second degree shaping of organization, but there's a striking distinction. There's high speed, the lady checking the blue trousers, and low speed, taking the flowers from the hair, putting those hair ornaments into the drawer. And there's these two normal, one might say, scenarios. The normal speed, the high speed. The stress of the child is atypical. Doesn't have any point to it, actually. So we have two images of time and of futility of doing something in vain. I would almost put the Chinese inspector into that context. And so this distinction between temporality and how one deals with work, I automatically look to the way things are organized. Individual acts of labor always within a particular nexus. And of course, the gaze of a filmmaker is different from that of an economist. We need to categorize these clearly. We must not forget that we'd look at things differently. I would film very differently. Although, of course, I know I've got no idea what I should actually film, if I'm quite honest. So I'm quite grateful that I have this as a basis for interpretation. The modern world in the form of the man-machine interface, or the man-machine system interface with the rhythm of work scarcely occurs here, except perhaps with the Chinese inspector carrying out the checks within the underground system. This section picks out these aspects. There are so many other different activities with a great deal of stress, for example, in mechanical engineering, chemical industry, shipbuilding industry. What kind of world is this which is displayed to us? I'd like to discuss that with you subsequently. But that just by way of introduction. Thank you.